I'm turning this morning to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And it's been a good study for me. I've enjoyed the research that I've done and so forth. And there are things that we need to glean today, some things I need to say today, as well as just looking at this particular passage. There's so many lessons here that really it's a passage that could lend itself to a number of messages, a series of messages, if you please. But that is not my intent today. So if you've turned to Luke chapter 5, we're going to read the first 11 verses. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. I wonder where that is. It's one of three names by which we know the Sea of Galilee. In Scripture, we have this title, Lake Gennesaret. We have the Sea of Tiberias, and we have the Sea of Galilee. So at one time or another, during that period of time, and sometimes it depends on who is speaking or writing, what that body of water is called. It took me a long time after I was first saved to figure out these three names and get it into my head that it's talking about the same body of water. Jesus, as he is teaching the word of God, they are pressing in on him to hear the word of God in verse 1. He saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So the boats are unoccupied. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. So the boat became the pulpit, and instead of standing, as was the custom in that day, for the teacher to sit down. And that's still a good custom. But most of us stand if we possibly can. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." That would be the text. Because we learn later that they had fished all night, down in verse 6. Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Now Jesus told him to launch out into the deep for a catch. That tells you it's going to happen. But Peter's rebuttal is, "We fished all night and caught nothing." "Nevertheless," Peter says, "nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. If you have King James, it says that the net broke, but the net did not break. It's the verb is one that speaks about it's in the process of. It's about to happen. It's about to break. It's so loaded with fish. So the net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. Now here's the same use again of another word. It began to happen. It didn't happen, but it was beginning to happen. It was going to happen at the rate that they were going, filling these boats with fish. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Now remember, these are experienced fishermen. Sometimes you catch and sometimes you don't catch. They're used to coming home with nothing, and they're used to coming home with a lot. But the wording that is used here is very descriptive. It says in verse 9, he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch. This is something that they didn't ordinarily see. This is more fish than they ordinarily catch. They were astonished at this catch. It was so overwhelming. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Now, verse 10 tells you that when they signaled for another boat in verse 7, they signaled to their partners in another boat. Who were the partners of Peter and Andrew? It was James and John. Verse 10, they also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So this particular fishing business included four disciples: Peter and Andrew, James and John. Two sets of brothers were in this together and were working together. Do not be afraid. Peter fell down at the knees of Jesus and said, "I'm a sinner. Depart from me, for I'm a sinner, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." Jesus is going to ordain them to a ministry of catching men. And the word there means to catch alive. Catch alive. Catch fish. Catch men. Alive. Very important that we understand some of the language that is used here. Every fisherman has a fish story. I'm not a fisherman. Probably only been fishing once or twice in my life. I have no desire to go back and do it again. But people who are really fishermen have fish stories to tell. That goes without saying. They sometimes begin with the fish that got away, or the story of the fish that didn't get away. And sometimes, as this story, it ends with a group of fishermen getting caught. Peter and Andrew and James and John were caught in the net of Jesus. Jesus was preaching near the lake of Galilee here, and the crowd was gathering and they were pushing him back toward the water. And Jesus saw Simon's boat, stepped into it, and asked him to push out a little way from the shore, some distance there, so he could speak to the larger crowd. Jesus used the boat as the launch for his message. And when he had finished his sermon, he surprised his friends by saying, "Let's go fishing. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets." Put out into the deep water and let down your nets. Verse 4. The disciples were exhausted. They have toiled all night and caught nothing. That would be discouraging for fishermen. So you're talking to tired men at this point. These expert fishermen had done all that they could. Their training and their experience as fishermen would not bring fish to their boat. They were trying to do the job that they had done many times, but this effort was a failure. Without Christ, they were just killing time, beating in time, as we often say. All they had to show for their night's toil were more tired bodies and empty nets. How many times do we work and toil only to feel that what we have done has been in vain and we're tired? We try with all of our might to be good neighbors, good fathers, good mothers, good Christians, only to sense that we end up with tired bodies and empty nets. This is always the outcome when we operate without Jesus Christ. Peter, as well as all the other disciples, was ever having to learn that life without Jesus was always fragmentary. It's going to be broken into pieces. There's only one way to do the work of the Lord, and that is the Jesus way. There's only one power that can make us able to live the Christian life and enable us to bear our responsibilities. Peter was still learning this lesson in Gethsemane, just before the trial and crucifixion, remember. Peter was still learning this lesson in Gethsemane when he tried to defend Jesus from Judas and the arresting soldiers, endeavoring to keep his promise never to be offended because of Jesus, never to forsake Jesus. And he pulls his sword in an attempt to defend Jesus. Surely it was love for Jesus that motivated Peter to swing that sword in spite of the odds, the soldiers that were there. Ready to do battle with this small army that was there in the garrison at Jerusalem. But what he did was wrong, for it was not the Jesus way. It was not the Jesus way to pull the sword and to do battle. It took Peter a long time to learn what Jesus was trying to teach him in the fishing boat. But months later, we hear Peter telling a beggar. We're now over into Acts chapter 3, Pentecost has happened several months down the road, and a beggar approached Peter for alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you." Peter said, in essence, "I cannot give you what you ask, but I can do better. I can give you what you need. I'll share with you the greatest discovery of my life. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." Peter finally found out that he did not have all the answers. He made the great discovery that life is more than physical prowess, human wisdom, financial security. He discovered that life came to man when he believed in Christ, heart and soul, and gave himself unreservedly to God. That's what he meant when he said to the crippled man, "Such as I have." He had power to speak the word that brought healing and restoration to the body of this crippled man. He didn't have money to give him. He gave him his life, really. Made him whole again physically. Made him able to walk and leap and dance as he went into the temple with the disciples that day. I have an idea that this man found a job after so many, many years of lying at the gate, crying out for help. That's what it meant when Peter said to the cripple, "Such as I have, I give thee." Oh, that we might make that discovery. And then there's a peculiar command. A peculiar command in verse 4. "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus is speaking. Now here's the picture. Here's part of the unusualness of this situation. Fish were normally caught near the shore, not in the deep. They were caught at night, not in the daytime. And yet Jesus told them to get out to the deep waters and let down their nets. Two things. Number one, it's not night, it's daytime. They're going to go fishing in daylight. They're not going to fish in the shallow waters along the shore. Jesus said, go out into the deep. The Sea of Galilee is between 60 and 120 feet deep over that whole area. It's 13 miles long from north to south. Where it empties from the lake up in the mountains, it empties into the Sea of Galilee. 13 miles to the River Jordan takes off and goes down to the Dead Sea. It's 8 miles wide at its widest. So it's not one of the major lakes of the world. It's a small lake. But the study of the Sea of Galilee is a fascinating, and I learned things this week that I had never read or heard before. I don't have time to share all of those things with you this morning. But here's this carpenter, Jesus, the landlubber, was telling these experienced fishermen how, where, and when they should fish. Daytime, deep water. The disciples had reason to doubt. Now, Peter may have been thinking, "Master, we're old hands at this business. We've done this for years. And we've already been here all night. And we've been where the fish are supposed to be caught. And we caught nothing. Are you going to try to tell us how and where to fish? How, where, and when to fish?" In spite of this, Peter knows that Jesus is the captain of the boat. And he says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Peter's resisting. Peter thinks he knows best. But he relents and says, "Master, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do." So thirdly, there's a reluctant obedience. Jesus said, "Let down your nets." Now, there's no one here today, and I don't really know any professional fishermen. But listen to me for a few moments, because I want to present to you an idea that we all have nets. As a fisherman, the nets were a part of Peter. They were what he had in his hands. He did with them what Jesus commanded. Our nets are our hands, our talents, our lives, our abilities, our personalities, our intelligence, our experience, our training. Our nets are whatever we have in our hands. How God has made us. How God put us together, so to speak, to make each of us a unique individual. So that what God has put in me is needed. What God has put in you in the way he's put you together, that is needed. That's what you have to take and use to catch men. To go fishing for men, for people. Ours is to do with what God has given us and how God has made us to do as Jesus commands. Because there's a purpose for what we are. There's a purpose for how we're made. There are people that we can reach that other people can't reach. That's our net. We may be experienced at living as Peter was experienced at fishing. We may know all the ins and outs financially and intellectually and socially, but if we do not have Jesus, we will toil through the night of life and come up at the end with nothing but empty nets, empty lives, unfulfilled. Our purpose is unfulfilled if we don't recognize that we are created uniquely to touch and minister to the lives of others. There will come a time when our nets will no longer be usable. The passing years will bring weakness and decay. Our nets for the last time will be let down into the sea of life. And when that time comes, what will be our catch? What will be our catch? If we will only trust him and believe him, believe him enough to follow his command and let down our net into the sea of life, just like he says, we will pull on board more treasures and blessings than our little boats can carry. We'll have to look around for someone's empty boat. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. My cup runs over." What do you do with a cup that's running over? You find an empty cup and fill it. If God has caused you to overflow, find some empty lives and flow into their lives with the overflow that God has given you. Well, Peter has a humble prayer in verse 8. When Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter had doubted the Lord. The Lord had said what? "Launch out into the deep for a catch. Go where I tell you to go, and what you're supposed to catch will be there." So, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, asked that the Lord would depart from him. Peter realized, Peter's learning who Jesus is and the power of Jesus and the command of Jesus to obey, to do what Jesus tells him to do, and things happen that Peter has never seen before. Peter had doubted the Lord because they had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus is telling them to go out in the daylight to the deepest place in the lake and let down the nets. Peter senses his sinfulness. The nearer we are to the walk of Jesus, the more we will realize our own sinfulness. Thoughts, actions, attitudes that need to be removed, which have never occurred to us perhaps as being wrong, will raise up their ugly heads in revelation as to what is in us sometimes. Peter's sin previous to this confession was that of attitude. Peter felt that he knew better about fishing than what Jesus did. See, he doesn't know Jesus very well yet. Now he's asking that the Lord might depart from him. He's not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. Imagine the scene. It's a time of breathtaking excitement, even for an experienced fisherman. They have run into an area of fish. Again, I had never met this word before, shoal, S-H-O-A-L. Dennis, you might know the word. I did not. It's where there's a large concentration of fish in a small area. Every man is trying to talk at the same time. They're straining every muscle, pulling the nets. The fish are sliding and flopping into the boats by the hundreds. The fishermen are soaking wet. They're knee-deep or more in fish. There's so many. They are amazed. verse 9 says that they were astonished at the catch. Folks, that had to be overwhelming because these were older, experienced men. They have seen it all as far as fishing is concerned, and they have never seen anything like this. They're excited. They're yelling, "Don't let the big ones get away. The boat is about to sink. We're taking on water." In all this excitement and confusion, Peter decides to pray. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He falls on his knees before Jesus. He bows at the knees of Jesus and asks Jesus to depart, because Peter says, "I'm a sinful man." And what he has seen with his own eyes and what he is experiencing trying to get those fish into the boat have spoken to his life that there's something powerful about this man Jesus. It's wonderful to have a worship environment and a lovely building into which we can come and have our services and our prayer meetings and special programs. But if somebody really wants to pray, he can confess his or her sins in any environment. It doesn't have to be in a church building. There in the midst of this exciting catch of fish that's making an overwhelming impact on Peter, he wants the Lord to depart from him. Peter thought he knew how things ought to be. He thought he was such a sinner that Jesus ought to leave him. And though Peter understands something about his sin, Jesus did not grant that request. Jesus did not leave. Jesus stayed right there as Peter was confessing his sin. Jesus was bound to stay there, regardless of Peter's sin. That Peter is a sinner is all the more reason that Jesus needed to stay there. Jesus is later to tell the Pharisees that he did not come to the people who thought they were so righteous that they needed no repentance, but he came to sinners. He came to sinners. The only way man can become what he ought to be is gotten in the presence of Jesus. Not through the absence of Jesus, but in the presence of Jesus, we can become what we're supposed to be. Peter's attitude was wrong when he doubted that Jesus could find any fish on the Sea of Galilee that day, because they didn't find any that night. His request was wrong as he prayed, but his attitude was right. Far better to pray wrong and have a right attitude than to have a wrong attitude and pray right. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to even be here in the same boat with you. I played the fool. I didn't know how to trust you. I'm nothing but a sinner, unworthy." This is the attitude in which the Lord wants us to pray. As a matter of fact, this is the only attitude that can secure the presence of God. This is the attitude in which the Lord wants us to pray. Humility. Humble. It's the only attitude that will secure forgiveness. Thank God Jesus understood the sinner man, Peter. He did not leave him alone in the boat that day with all of his sins. He stayed right there with his sinner friend. When we feel as if we should not be in the presence of Jesus because of our sin, we can be certain that that same Jesus will not leave us alone, hopeless in sin. Anyone. If we, like Peter, sense the fact that we are sinners and will so confess to God, Christ will always stay around to clean up the mud off of our dirty lives and pick up the broken pieces and put them back together again. Christ calls us in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. God calls us to launch out into the deep. God calls us into faith in Him, into His grace, into His love. Do we respond? Do we respond like Peter? But Lord, all night long I've tried and I really haven't gotten anywhere. Mostly the Lord, I've just made a mess. My net is empty. I'm tired. I don't want to do anymore. Lord, I know you're the captain. I know you're the master of my life. And I'll do as you say. I'll try again. I'll go to that spot that you told me to go to and I'll let down the net because you said it. And like Peter, we should bend before him, humble ourselves, whatever word you want to put there, and hear Jesus say, don't be afraid. From now on, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to catch men. Men are going to be saved because of what we do when we obey Him. And Jesus can say, as I have blessed you, you will bless others. You will become a blessing to others. To me, that text in verse 4, we had people walk away from this fellowship. They have, they are, and they will. When the challenge was, launch out into the deep. Most people's lives are shallow. They're comfortable living shallow lives. They're comfortable living in the shallow waters. There's not much to do there. They're really not challenged there. It's comfortable. That may be where they've been most of their life. And a challenge comes to launch out into the deep and do something that you've never done before. Trust God to open doors and make provision that you've never seen before. And many have said, I'm going to stay in the shallow water. I'm comfortable there. It's not demanding. A lot of my friends are there. I'm going to stay in the shallow water. And most people, that's where they live their lives. We saw it. We watched it happen. I'm thankful for the few that are staying in the deeper waters with greater expectations from God than we have ever seen before. Perhaps more than this city has ever seen before. It's God's deal. It's not mine. It's not yours. We're caretakers. We're the fishermen. Some are called to let down their nets for a greater catch. Many never see it. They never hear it. And they never experience it. Launch out into the deep. Whatever God is calling you to do in your life, and regardless of your age, and regardless of your ability, I can't, I'm not prepared, I don't know. If God calls, God will see it through. If God calls, He will equip us to do what He wants done. What He wants done through us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for this passage of Scripture and how it has spoken to my heart, Father. And how I pray for those, Lord, who stay by the shore. Who stay in the shallow waters. Who will never be a part of a great catch, a great work that you may want to do in this city. But those, Father, who hear the call to launch out into the deep and be a part of something that they have never known before, be a part of something that's bigger than they can imagine or dream. Give them strength to go forward and follow the vision of the Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen.